Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Paul Waddell, and if you appreciate this kind of dialogue and, well, basically what we're really trying to do here is save people's lives and put out the information that the mainstream leaves out, which means, incidentally, I never get a break. Because there's just that much that they don't cover.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's like there's a grain of sand on the beach that they cover, and they don't let you know that there's a beach full of sand. That kind of thing. That's media coverage in a nutshell, as far as I'm concerned. So there's just so much. And unfortunately, because of the multifaceted, eclectic nature of life, I'm really incapable of studying to any great degree these topics which we discuss on this show. So instead of spending huge quantities of time studying and doing maybe one show a week, I will get somebody on who has done a hot copious quantities of studying by themselves, and I frickin' listen to them. This is my study, and through listening to the show, through watching these videos, this also becomes part of your study. If you listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show 5 days a week, I can guarantee you, this is the Vinny Eastwood Show guarantee, within 6 months, you will have probably learned more than you would in the last 20 years of listening to talk radio. Okay, that is how much we study things on this particular broadcast 5 days a week. In order to do this, on the other hand, I've had to forego a lot of things, including financial security. And indeed, because of this public service that I offer, and because it's so time-consuming, it prohibits me really from getting a part-time job, or a slave job, as I like to call them. So, in order to keep this broadcast running, I require your donations, your support, your subscriptions. Please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And you can donate there through the Kiwi Bank account, preferably, because PayPal doesn't get a cut if you donate through there. Set up an automatic payment. And if you are only really capable of doing something by credit card, you can donate through PayPal, or set up a $5 a month subscription. With that passive income, it means I no longer have to stress about where my next meal ticket is coming from, which means I can focus on the task at hand, which is giving coverage and support to those who truly, truly need it and deserve it. Because the mainstream media, when they don't do their job, don't complain about it. Just replace them, because they are no longer relevant. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, Vinny.
Now, we have a number of devices here that you have. Could you show it up to the camera? And
sure.
And also, some of them make a little bit of noise and stuff, don't they?
Yep, they do. This one's pretty silent. This is the Stetsometer. This is for measuring dirty electricity. And as I think I said before, we're looking for a reading of less than 50 as being good. I'm sure that we can see that this is bouncing around about 1,000 or a little bit over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I would think, mostly coming from the light bulbs that you've got up here, the Curly light bulbs or CFL light bulbs.
Should we do a test and quickly turn them off and see how that works?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got the light bulbs up here. Okay, so they're off now. And
oh, no, it hasn't made any difference. It's something else.
Well, it is right next to the big computer,
and there's
a giant television behind us as well at the same time.
Yep. Okay, so there's something in this area. Might as well. Yep. Cool. There's something within this area which is generating lots and lots of these high frequency harmonics and transients.
Wireless phone right here.
No, that's not going to do that. But
cell phone?
No. It's to do with the power supply. It's the quality of the power supply of the device you've got plugged in. And all of the energy saving devices that we have these days have what they call an inductive load. And in the old days, you know, going back 30, 40, 50 years ago, most appliances and most things like the old incandescent light bulb, you know, the ordinary light bulb, they're what they term a linear load. And what that means is that it's a very constant current draw. It's just constantly drawing current. So, you know, a light bulb's on, it's drawing current. But these energy-saving devices that we have, they are the way they save energy is by turning the current on and off. And as they turn the current on and off a lot, very, very fast, they create these transients or voltage spikes, and these voltage spikes have this harmonic component to them. And
they put the harm in harmonic.
They do. It's you. I might be able to demonstrate it.
There's something doing here.
I tried this at that, the presentation, but there was so much around that it didn't actually work. But we'll try it here.
Probably just as much here.
We'll see. Okay, this is just a little transistor radio. And I've got it on the AM band. And it's just tuned off station. But if you want to hold that up to those lights up there and just, as you get closer,
I see that. Yeah. It goes. So it's like, and then up at the lights, it goes.
Yep. And if you find some other. Okay, that's your monitor.
Now this monitor actually is magnetic.
Yep. So, and your little printer here has got a few other noises. So if people want to have a bit of a play and see what their environment's like regarding harmonics, and these harmonic frequencies, get a little battery-powered transistor radio, put it on the AM or MW band, and tune it down the dial to about 530 kilohertz, and turn the volume up and wander around your home and hold it. If you've got a refrigerator that's got an LCD screen or something like that on it, I know my one at home, I put it in front of that, it just screams.
Isn't it a funny coincidence how they're called kilohertz?
Yeah. These are these high-frequency harmonics that we're talking about. And to a degree, you can hear them with this because the dangerous range for these things is from 1.7 kilohertz up to about 150 kilohertz is the body harmful range, I guess, if you want to put it that way, biologically active range.
Well, the bloody harmful range is...
Yeah, and that's where this meter is designed to measure the transients and harmonics within that frequency range. And there was one study that Sam Milham did at a school in America, and it was a cancer cluster that they looked at, and where they actually thought the these high frequency harmonics were coming from was actually a cell phone tower. Anywhere where you're changing the voltage from 240 volts AC to a lesser DC voltage or something, and cell phone towers have great big inverters in them, and so where you've got an inverter, they create these high frequencies, and but I think that at this particular school, if you had a reading this high, around about 1,000, I think there was statistically there was a 12% chance of getting cancer.
12%?
12%.
You add on to that sugary foods that they serve at the tuck shop.
Yeah.
Add on to that the teachers are stressing you out with all of that kind of stuff. Stress causes cancer too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting to the point where you've got like a 50% cancer likelihood before you've even graduated.
Well, you know, but this is creating stress at a cellular level, which is really interesting. And I'm not a cellular biologist or anything like that. I'd never pretend to be. But, but this is what we've got to start looking at is, you know, what's happening actually within our bodies. What are the things around us, you know, doing to us?
I was just thinking that a Vodafone is something that causes stress at a cellular level.
That's true.
Especially when you get them bills in there.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
There was another study that that Sam Milham did, I think with, Magda Havis, who's another lady who does a lot of research into this area. And they picked there was a school in America, and they did a trial there, and they made some mock filters so that they could actually have a blind study, and at nighttime they would move them around in the classrooms, and they asked initially just asked the teachers to record how they felt and how the pupils behaved, and as they went through the study, they could tell where the real filters were, because the kids were more settled and the school had very high dirty electricity readings. Mm. And then at the end, they decided they would put the filters in full time. Well, at the school, there were 27 children who used asthma inhalers. And once the filters were in and been settled down for a little while, there were only three kids who were using asthma inhalers, and that was for sport-induced mm-hmm. issues. They weren't just using puffers all the time. And it's really interesting that there's that blood sugar levels can be hugely affected by this dirty electricity. And so people that are diabetic or have blood sugar issues really shouldn't be around this stuff because it affects them really badly. There's no way of knowing.
Heart disease is a leading cause of death in America. Do you think this might be connected?
Absolutely, I do. This and electric fields and microwave radiation, all of the stuff is stressing people, and it depends on you personally as to what it affects within you. Where is your weakness? What's an issue? But certainly, Sam Millen did this really interesting study about the introduction of electricity into America, and he classes heart disease as one of the diseases of civilization, and he tracked that back to the introduction of electricity, and tracked it as more and more communities got more electricity, then they got more and more cancer and heart disease.
Yeah, cause and effect.
Yeah.
And what do the power companies and cell phone companies, I mean, have they got like big PR teams and things like that who go around trying to dispel all of this and just say, oh, no, it's perfectly safe or whatever. We've done X amount of testing through bias universities that we paid off and everything, so it's fine, it's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is no acceptance whatsoever that these low power fields actually have any effect. And what the utility companies and especially the cell phone companies do is they rely on this weight of evidence argument, and they fund just about all of the research. And so they're very, very clever. They're very smart about how they do this. They'll pick research and they'll pick the parameters, and they'll pick parameters that won't work. One example I can think of was that there was some research done in Austria, in a little village in Austria. They were going to get their very first cell phone tower, and it was like, oh, this is terrific. Let's do a survey on this. And they did a survey of the people before the tower went in, and then they monitored their health and well-being over an extended period of time. And they got to 4 years, and nothing too much was happening. They got to 5 years, and all of a sudden, there were cancers and there were all kinds of chronic health issues that were really starting to come out. And so, you know, how long do you think cell phone companies do long-term tests for now?
I would say that they don't do them at all.
Well, no, they do. They probably do fund them, but they won't do them for more than 4 years.
Mm. Well, that's not really a long-term study, is it?
No, it's not. But they've learned the parameters that they can do testing within that will give null or dubious responses. And so,
you're just sneaky bastards. You know, it's just like you come into a town, you go, okay, it's going to take about 4 years to give everybody cancer. So what we'll do is we'll study them for a little under 4 years.
Yeah.
And so that when we walk out for beforehand, we'll go, hey, it doesn't cause cancer.
And this is the problem we have, is there are some very, very credible non-industry funded researchers who are finding significant issues with all of the stuff. You know, it doesn't matter what aspect of electro pollution it is. There are researchers finding really significant issues with all of it. But you've got the very well funded industries and utilities that are doing all this research that they fund, and they can fund a lot more of it. And so when our government goes to, or you go to the Ministry of Health and say, look, I think there's a problem with Wi-Fi in schools, or I think there's a problem with a cell phone tower, they go, yeah, but we've looked at all the research, and the weight of evidence tells us that it's not a problem. And it's because there is so much research funded by the cell phone companies and the IEEE in America, which is the power quality or the power watchdogs over there, because there is so much done that they kind of control. And the other thing is that there are so many researchers that have lost their funding and had their credibility attacked because they've found issues, And these people have been slammed pretty hard for that. And so you get these scientists, and you know, they want to eat too. They want to look after their families. They want to pay mortgages. And so, you know, they sell a little part of their soul, I think, and they go along with, you know, this kind of research. And I think it's very sad because we're not getting the real truth because it's very biased, a lot of it.
What's the going rate for your soul these days?
Well, I don't know, but...
I mean, like if somebody offered you a certain amount of money to stop doing what you're doing.
There's no money that somebody could pay me to stop doing what I'm doing. I mean, I do this more than anything because I'm passionate about it.
Well, I think it's also because you have ethics.
I guess.
You couldn't live with yourself otherwise, right?
No, and but I mean, I also
both have, literally and figuratively.
but I mean, I also have to draw the line in places too. I mean, I'm sitting in a cafe and there's a mum sitting there and she's given her toddler an iPhone to play with. I sit there and I'm wriggling on my seat. Do I go over and say something or not? And occasionally I do, and I hand out my card and say, look, this is what I do. Please be aware of this. What you're doing there is dangerous. And but, I mean, people don't really want to hear that.
Mm. You told me during the presentation at the ASB Showgrounds that there's actually an iPhone casing for teething babies.
Yeah, I believe that's the case here. They're making cases. And then one of the growth areas in smartphone apps is actually for toddlers and babies, which I think is really sad. I mean, even for kids under 16, I mean, personally, I think that they should have really restricted use of cell phones. They shouldn't carry them around with them. And I mean, I've got a 17-year-old son, and I know how hard it is for parents to sort of try and police some of this kind of stuff. But at least my son's relatively aware. I mean, he's just coming up to a one-year anniversary with his girlfriend, and he has educated her that, you know, you don't carry a cell phone in your bra, and a lot of her and a lot of her mates and a lot of other young women I see carry cell phones in their bras. This is outrageously dangerous.
Mm, indeed. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Paul Waddell is my guest. And what's your website again there, Paul, just quickly?
www.safespace.net.nz.
We'll be right back, folks.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know the way it's going to go.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Now, not only do I need your donations and support, but also so does American Freedom Radio. They actually do probably about 10 times the amount of work that I do. I just do one show, whereas they produce, you know, half a dozen per day. And it's a family operation there, the Romero family, the boys. Adam and Dan run the boards, and their father, Danny, who used to be the program director for a number of reputable truther radio networks, and indeed gave many of the today's top activists their first radio shows personally. They all set up American Freedom Radio because this is what needs to happen. No taboo topics. If you are afraid to talk about certain things that might freak people out and scare them, that is the very reason why the world is such a fracked up place in the first place, isn't it? Now, Paul Waddell is my very special guest, and we're about to check the rad levels. That's not a skateboarding term, ladies and gentlemen. on my wireless phone here. So, Paul, proceed.
Okay. Yeah, good to be back. And we'll turn on the meter. The meter I'm using here is a Gigahertz Solutions meter, HF59B for the the tech heads there, that's, they'll know that that's actually, this is a real top of the line meter. And I've got an omni directional aerial on it. So let's turn it on and see what kind of readings we're getting. And a little bit of a buzz. At the moment, I'm getting about 1,000, 1,500 microwatts.
Okay.
So Vinny's going to turn on the cordless phone.
All right, so we're going to hold the, just hold the cordless phone when it's off, and there's a, there's only a slight increase. Now we turn it on. Yeah. And off. On. And off.
Yep. And Vinny was holding it very, very close to the aerial, and at that range, we got well in excess of 20,000 microwatts. So,
which is around about the same amount, slightly less than a major cell phone tower, isn't it?
Yeah, I measure up to 30,000 microwatts around a cell phone tower. So yeah, it's right up there. Right up there. And you know, when I come and measure somebody's home, normally the strongest microwave radiation I find in somebody's home is their cell phone, almost always. Wi-Fi is strong, but it's not as strong. At the same kind of distance, a cordless phone, and the base station is actually stronger. That was just the handset. The base station is generally a lot stronger, and the real issue with the standard cordless phone is that that base station runs 24/7. It never, ever turns off. It's just like having your own personal cell phone tower in your home. And you know, if you've got that sitting on your bedside table, then you know you're cuddling up next to a cell phone tower.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Oh, goodness sake. Right, so the fact of the matter is we're completely surrounded. I would say bathing is not too strong a word.
In places. I mean, you know, I was talking about my home before, you know, and so, like, I purposefully chose not to live near a cell phone tower, and I tested some aspects of the home before I bought it, and I know in our bedrooms, in all of the bedrooms pretty much, that the electric fields are 0.2, 0.3 of a volt body voltage, which is pretty low, and so... I regularly go to homes where the voltages in the bedrooms are 5, 6, 7 volts, and when you're laying on the bed, it's, you know, that kind of number or higher. If people use an electric blanket while they're sleeping, that measurement can go up to 80 or 90 volts while you're sleeping. And personally, I would say that's really dangerous.
And of course, what I find very interesting is the government companies, they always use this line, what about the children? When clearly, via their actions, they're actually trying to get, I mean, let's say, for example, if you translated action into intention. So let's say, for example, you take absolute intention out of it and you just look at the results. So if somebody was doing this intentionally, their intention would be to destroy children, basically, and destroy the human population. That's not necessarily what is intended.
No.
Is exactly what is happening.
Yep. I mean, in 1970, the autism rate was 1 in 10,000 in America. It's just been fairly recently acknowledged that it's 1 in 50. And, I mean, I think that's really
outrageous. That's up from 1 in 180 not a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And, you know, what is increasing at the moment at a phenomenal rate and has increased in the last 10 years. I mean, if you think back 10 years ago, there really weren't a lot of cell phones around. There were some, for sure, but there was nowhere near the proliferation that we have now, and also the signal strength that we have now, and Wi-Fi in homes. You know, go back 10 years, there was not that much Wi-Fi in homes. Now it's virtually every home. It's really difficult to actually buy an internet modem that doesn't have Wi-Fi on it. You struggle to find one that doesn't have Wi-Fi on it, and often you can't turn it off either. So, you know, yes, there are other environmental factors in there. There are BPAs and there are other toxins in the environment. There's mercury and all this kind of stuff. But I think these are all equally as bad. We have vaccines.
It's a cumulative effect.
It is, but we've got increase in vaccines and the, you know, this, you know, they're not really making vaccines any better. I personally don't agree with vaccines at all. And so, you know, but what has been the exponential increase that we've had in the last 10 years? And I honestly think that the major thing that's increased exponentially in the last 10 years is microwave radiation and our exposure to it. Mm. And I'm very, very convinced that this is one of the major issues that we face as far as health goes.
Mm. I mean, I remember watching movies from the 80s, and this incredibly important businessman would pull out this cell phone, and it's like he's holding a brick. And
I can remember those.
and it was, you had to be an incredibly important and usually a very wealthy person, yeah, in order to have one of those. So it was relatively rare. Now you can pick a ready-to-go cell phone from 2 Degrees out of a stack of them at a supermarket for like $35.
Absolutely, and the other thing that you know, at least people are a little bit aware of cell phones, because you know they don't like the look of the towers; they look really ugly, and people, you know, not very happy about them. And if one goes up near your home, people do seem to get a bit unhappy about it, which is great. They need to get a lot more unhappy about it.
Whereas wireless is totally invisible.
Absolutely, and it's just everybody totally accepts it. And cordless phones. I mean, I often. You know, if I'm doing presentations or talking to a group of people, one of the first things I sort of say is, who's got a cordless phone? And more people have got cordless phones than have got Wi-Fi. Mm. And I remember I went to a public meeting as an advocate against the introduction of a cell phone tower. And the first thing I did when I stood up and talked to these people, I said, look, I just want you to understand that you need to be a lot more aware of your own environment and not be NIMBYs, not be there just because there's going to be a tower in your back garden. I said, you know, how many of you guys have got cordless phones? How many of you got Wi-Fi? Most people will get far more exposure from the cordless phone and the Wi-Fi in their home than they will from a cell phone tower, most people. The people that live within 100 metres of a cell phone tower, you know, it's going to be up there in equivalent. Mm. But, you know, we're really doing this to ourselves, and we love this new technology. We love our new toys. And I guess what I try and educate people or try and talk to people about and help them in their homes is how to have this technology and to be as safe as possible having it. I'm not anti-technology at all.
What is it called? It's called a Luddite.
Yeah.
A Luddite is somebody who really doesn't like technology, but it stems back to the old looms in England, I think in the 1800s, where there were riots outside these places because these people felt that technology was a threat because it was getting rid of their jobs. It was replacing the need for labour.
Yep.
And that's not what we're saying here. We're not saying technology is a bad thing. If anything, you being here right now and me doing this show on a daily basis physically would not be possible. I mean, you would have had to come over here in a horse and cart or something, yep, like that. You know, we're not going to go back to living in Amish standards. Incidentally, there's like no cancer or autism or violence or
ADD,
many of these
ADD or ADHD
in Amish societies.
Well, not that there's none, but there is. It's
virtually none.
It's very low.
Yeah,
it's very low
by comparison to the rest of the society, because they've been rejecting all these advances in technology. So the postulation that it is in fact a technological sort of health effect that the entire population is studying from, when you look at the Amish, no technology. Virtually none of these associated diseases, and then you look at our society with these devices and everything, and you have a look at the health statistics. They're peaking off the freaking scale, man.
They are, and a lot of these things are starting to go exponential. And I was at a home the other day, and I hope the lady doesn't mind me talking about her. Nobody else will know who it is, but these people had. High voltage power lines very, very close to their house and very high. And we got talking about the issue of you know, children, because I was very, very concerned for her children because I felt the readings are way too high. And both of her kids have got allergy issues. And when I started talking to her about the electro pollution issues that can come, or and the factors, the four kinds of electro pollution and what they can mean and things like this, and I mentioned that especially microwave radiation can cause breaches of the blood-brain barrier, and when things go into the brain that shouldn't be there, they can have chronic effects, and this can promote allergies and things like this. And she just turned around and she says, there must be more than 60 or 70% of the kids at school that have got allergies to something. And I remember when I went to school, I'm 55 in a couple of weeks' time, and I remember when I went to school, allergies wasn't a big deal. You know, there was the odd kid that had asthma, but, you know, we were all just out there in our bare feet running around, tumbling all over the place and just, you know, doing what we were doing. But the number of kids that have got health-related, you know, chronic health-related issues is outrageous. Mm-hmm. I don't get, you know, because I'm a little bit older now, I used to be a scout leader and went right through with my son from cubs to scouts and into adventurers, but I don't have exposure to, you know, groups of young kids anymore, so I don't really see what the issue is. But this lady absolutely amazed me when she was talking about the number of children that have got low-level chronic health issues. And I'm very, very convinced that this ubiquitous electro pollution that we surround ourselves with is a major, major contributor to this and many other health issues.
Now, on top of that, the health issues that get caused are in fact treated with drugs that cause even worse health issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like the current paradigm is like you get sick, then you go to somebody who's a specialist in illness. And I use that term operatively because they actually are specialists in illness now in the medical profession, specialists at making you ill and keeping you ill so that they can continue to profit from your sickness. This is what drugs are doing invariably.
Absolutely, I agree.
You waltz in, you see a kid with ADD. You know what's real funny? My mother was given a pamphlet for ADD and it had symptoms like, creativity or unable to stay on one boring subject for a period of time and so on and so forth. And you know what was real funny is I saw those exact same symptoms again on a slide at university in business school. And you know what they were describing?
A good entrepreneur.
Exactly. So, again, regardless of the intention, this is the effect. We are destroying entrepreneurial spirit with drugs. And it's becoming such a plague upon mankind, where almost anybody with real potential, provided they don't have the knowledge of how special they really are and how much of a bunch of it's just you have a look at the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, for example. This is an incredible magazine, which I believe you've indeed been in a couple of articles for.
Yep, there's one coming up in the very next issue. There's one on electric fields and how to measure them yourself.
See, exactly, and because of the fact that this magazine isn't out there to everybody, not every doctor's reading it. What surprises me, it doesn't surprise me, but it just illustrates for me the fact that there are so many different articles in here on hundreds of different subjects coming out each and every single issue. There is this much knowledge that must be gained upon the health of our people and our environment that simply isn't taken into account by mainstream medicine. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we will be right back with the final segment with Paul Waddell. Don't you go anywhere.
Toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. Yeah. asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Cash there with the electromagnetic frequency radiation theme song. I've been everywhere, man. Boiling your blood and brain cells, man. So on and so forth, man. Yep. Paul Waddell is my very special guest, and we've been talking about this. Has like been just an amazing show. I just want to thank you personally.
No, it's cool. My pleasure.
Oh my god, so awesome, so awesome, and freaky. Now, what are the things that you'd like to wrap up with today of the show? Because you're the researcher, you're the one with the knowledge. What is it that you reckon people really most need to know? What are the things that really concern you? Because we spoke over the break about cult indoctrination and the tactics by which people indoctrinate people into cults, and then relayed that. So it's things like sleep deprivation, herd mentality, telling people that they're better than everybody else and things like that, and they create a separatism. And it works in the medical profession as well as lawyers and so on and so forth. And what's happening is, you know, you'll go into a hospital with one disease and you'll come out with six.
You know, I guess what I'd like to say to people is to be aware. You know, just understand that there are potentially some problems or some issues out there regarding the electricity that's running through your walls, the wireless technology that we all seem to really like. Just understand that there are some issues. Do some research if you like. If you go onto my website on the links page, there's lots and lots of really good stuff. I've tried to cherry pick some really good stuff so that you don't have to go searching everywhere. There's good stuff there. So, firstly,
quickly give out that website again.
www.safespace.net.nz, and then the links page. And the other thing, I guess, I really want to try and get across is that you know, if you do have a chronic illness or you know, some issue, or you feel like you're being affected by your environment, get it measured, understand what's going on. The you know, the normal procedure is people go to their doctor first. The doctor gives you chemicals. That's treating. It's looking at symptoms, treating symptoms. You know, and what I'm trying to do is to encourage naturopaths and the naturopaths that I talk with and try and work in with a little bit. They're beginning to really understand that. That maybe we need to take one more step backwards and step right back to our homes and say, okay, what is potentially causing an issue with my health in my home, and take it right back to that point, because often I can go into somebody's home, I can test, and I can really illustrate something that may be causing the issue that they have. So, you know, be aware. If you're feeling unwell, or you know you're waking up tired, or you've got headaches, or you know, waking up with a headache, or you know something like that, don't just pop a pill or go to the doctor. Think about what's happening in your home. You know, look at your home first. Make sure that your home is really safe. And then when you go to your naturopath or your doctor or something, then you can be very confident that, hey, I know that I've had my home checked out. I know that it's as good as I can possibly make it, and I understand the issues there, and I cope with that. And also your workplace as well. You know, some people, you know, they go and they spend, you know, quite a few hours sitting in front of a computer all day, and they come out and they feel really whacked, and understandably so, especially, you know, some work environments can be really, really tough on your body. Even if you're just sitting at a desk at a computer, if there's high electric and magnetic fields and you're, you know, high duty electricity, high, you know, you've got microwave radiation, you've got a cordless phone, you know, at the end of the day, you could be pretty charged up, pretty zapped up. And then you go home, and if you're not getting relief at home, especially if you're not getting relief at home as well, then, you know, you can, this is where over a period of time, what this stuff does is it depresses your immune system. And so you need to make sure that where you live, you know, at your home, where you go to rest and recuperate and be relaxed and be loving and you know, live that really important part of your life, that, you know, you can be there and you can be well.
Mm. Now, I also think that in terms of this, you're talking about suppressed immune system, you're talking about diseases manifesting. It would occur to me that not only do you need to be wary of your environment, but you also need to be wary about what's going into your body and indeed supplementing with healthy things that increase your immunity and indeed prevent disease, things like
antioxidants and
vitamin C and plenty of fresh filtered, unfluoridated water.
Yep. So I mean, all of those things are terrific, and I can't really give you authoritative information on that because that's not what I do. But
but just in general.
But in general, absolutely. You know, get a good naturopath. I don't go to doctors in general unless I got really something wrong. But last time I went to a doctor was a long time ago. But I regularly go to really good naturopaths, and I try and tune my body up to make sure it's good, and especially because I consider I put myself in harm's way to do the work that I'm doing, because I often go into homes where I wouldn't live in there for any money that you could pay me.
I got the same thing with me, man. You know, in my line of work, I'm putting myself in the line of fire. I go to the protests, I'm rubbing shoulders with police, and I don't want to be there.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, so I feel that I have to look after myself very much so, because some places, if I go and measure a house and where the people are rightly concerned because I live 100 meters away from a cell phone tower, well, for the 2 or 3 hours that I'm there, I'm getting zapped as well. Mm. And normally I wouldn't be in that kind of environment, because I make sure that when I'm at my home and when I'm doing the things that I want to do with my life, I'm very, very, very conscious of where I'm at. Like on the street that I live, there are some distribution lines for electrical power. You've got the 240 volt ones, but you've also got maybe 33,000 volt ones above that. And I know that walking down one side of my street, I'll be walking under 10 milligauss of magnetic field, and on the other side, I'll be walking under maybe one. And so I choose to walk on the other side of the street, because I'm aware enough that I actually look up and say, okay, those power lines over that part of the footpath are not great.
Gives a whole new meaning to the term living on the wrong side of the tracks, doesn't it?
Absolutely, or the wrong side of the street. but this is the kind of awareness that I think people really need to gain to live in the world that we're in right now. But where we're going to go with this, if we've got time, there's one thing that I'd really like to put out to people, which I think it might be really interesting, is that looking at all the research of what's coming in the future, I believe that the number of electrically sensitive people are going to grow very quickly, and there's going to be a significant number, so that maybe in 10 or 15 years' time, the government is actually going to have to create white zones where people can go and live. And they'll have to live like the Amish. They'll have to live without microwave radiation and wireless and cordless things. And what this is going to do, I think, is going to create a really interesting rift in society. We're going to have the haves that have got the technology and the have-nots that are possibly looked down upon in their little enclaves, white zones, where they can live.
It'll be like in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, but what happens when the chairman or president of a Fortune 500 company, or the prime minister, or somebody who in a position of authority becomes electrosensitive? They will have to give up their home, their life, their wife, possibly, if she doesn't want to go back and live in the enclave where people work on the land and are artisans and live a gentler, more natural lifestyle, because they have to.
That's not going to happen, though, because under Agenda 21 protocol, they're going to force everybody off the land, particularly the farmers, cram us into these slave block cities where they'll be completely bombarded by electromagnetic radiation and wireless signals at all hours of the day, and there will be no escape, and travel will be highly restricted. This is all in the UN documents.
Yeah, but the electrosensitive people have to get away from this stuff. I know one guy. He lives in the South Island, and he, at 1:05 in the morning, one morning, he sat bolt upright in bed, and it was like, what the hell was that? And he could feel this stuff. He's very electrosensitive. He could feel this energy in his body. And what it turned out was that they'd just turned on the digital TV transmitter that was 7 or 8 or 9 kilometers away.
Wow.
And he felt it. This is how sensitive some of these electrosensitive people are.
Now, I was just wondering, it's kind of like, it's almost like superpowers, but they don't have any real benefits.
They have major downsides. The electrosensitive people that I try and help and and are aware of. I mean, my heart just goes out to them because these people live a really difficult life. Can you imagine where you have to stay inside your house all day with the power turned off almost 24 hours because having the electricity turned on in the walls hurts, physically hurts, and, you know, feeling like you can't go out because if you go down to the cafe or the library, there's Wi-Fi. You can't go out on the street and walk around because there's cell phone towers everywhere. These people are almost prisoners in their own homes. And it's not like they can sit there and watch the telly or because they can't bear to be where there is electricity.
What makes them electrosensitive?
If you get overexposed to the stuff, there seems to be a point where you get sensitivity. And
perhaps this is the answer to the question that I asked earlier. What's the effect on fetal development of this kind of radiation?
This is a big problem because I think As children and babies in the womb or, you know, newborns, if they get exposed to a lot of the stuff, the potential for them to become electrically sensitive far younger is far greater. And I think a lot of ADD, ADHD and all that kind of stuff are signs of electrosensitivity that are manifesting with children, because if you take them out of that wireless background and you clean up the dirty electricity and you get them away from electric fields, they just become normal, happy kids. You put them in the environment and they change. It's really, really simple. And, you know, parents need to be looking out for these things and being aware of these things, because, believe me, you do not want to become electrosensitive. This is a very, very scary, scary prospect.
Paul Waddell, ladies and gentlemen, is pretty legendary, isn't it? You know, you got to admit. And because of the fact that this information doesn't get out there very often, I'm going to rely on you, the listeners, to share this particular broadcast, specifically this particular broadcast, because of its importance. Paul, thank you for your time, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.